hear the sound of a mighty rushing wave.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Children, yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be going home when Jesus steps aside.
A very good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM, the program Issues of Life, and Eben. Thank God for another Saturday. We give God the praise and the glory. So it's a privilege to come your way. And indeed, it's been quite a busy day. For those who joined the National Digital Parenting Conference, the online version, we ended it not too long ago. And God willing, tomorrow is the second day. And you can join as well. If you'll be interested, I can send you the link in the course of the program when I finish. So you can sign up. It's by Zoom, and as many that joined today learned a lot. But for our listeners, I've been talking about some of these things, and I'm continuing here with a series that we've been having for some time now, digital parenting. And it's quite a critical thing to look at as Christian parents, because a lot is happening. And if you think all is well, so there's nothing to be bothered about, or there's nothing to learn, and all that, then you are deceiving yourself, because we live in a very complicated technological system now, where a lot of parents, really, really speaking, are ignorant about a lot of things happening. You know, you see, I can attest to this fact that, because I remember once I saw the children watching a cartoon that they've recorded. Like, they were watching it, and it was a Christian cartoon that they were watching on the TV and from a pen drive. So I asked them, how did they get it? And they said, oh, they recorded it. There was this Christian channel that was showing it, so they recorded it from the TV. And, you know, I was telling myself that, oh, I mean, I bought this TV, but I didn't even know that I could record the pen drive. You know, okay, one, I don't have time, I've not bothered to read the manual and all that. But the fact that they have been able to explore, to see these things, that the TV had these features to use and all that, it was amazing. But that's the standard now. That's how the children are. And they understand things. So even if I even who understand some of the technology and all that, they could do something which I even didn't know, because I've not bothered to learn. How much more the average parent out there who has no idea that much about technology. So the essence of some of these discussions help us to shape the way we do our parenting. I've been saying it, and that's the reality, that if we go the same strategies, we use the same strategies, we go the same way our parents use in bringing us up, yes, there are some principles which we can apply, the same old school strategies which will still work, morals and all that. But if you stick to only those old school strategies your parents use in bringing you up, you would fail to some degree, because a whole lot of things have been added up to the world which didn't exist when your parents were bringing you up. And I mean, at the time when we were growing up, there was only one TV station in the world, in Ghana, sorry, and GBC, sometimes they will come at 5 p.m., sometimes 6 p.m., close at 10 p.m., sometimes their machines will be faulty, they will close at 9 p.m. I mean, that was it. One channel, if you won't watch it, that's it. Nothing, go and sleep. There's no alternative. Very few rich people had VCR, video cassettes. It was now coming gradually, and very few. I remember at a point in our area, it was just one house I heard of that they had a VCR. You see, so it wasn't a common thing. Cassettes, video cassette was, those times if you see people holding video cassettes, like they are going to exchange or they are taking it to video library, it's like some treasure. I mean, you see, life has changed. A lot has changed. Technologically, so many things have changed. Spiritually, too, the world is not the same as we were growing up. A lot has happened. The devil has stepped up his game far more than it used to be. Demonic activity has never been the same as it used to be. So many things are happening, spiritual fronts and physical, psychological, technological, social. So many things are happening now. So if we look at all these things as parents, there is the need to understand what is happening and depending and guide, using the guide of the Holy Spirit and with knowledge, because you also need knowledge to know how to do some things, as well as depending on God to also help you to be a good parent. So that's the essence of this series that I've been on. For those who have missed the earlier editions, you can get it from spiritissues.info. And those in the Telegram group, you can get it in the group. All the files are there as well. Spirit Issues. If you search in Telegram, Spirit Issues, you would get the group there. Okay, so let me get into some of the news happenings in the course of the week. This week, the earth has been shaking, especially today. It's been quite busy. Officials report fatalities and damage after 7.2 magnitude earthquake strikes Haiti. And then earlier, that there was 6.9 earthquake that also Alaska, off the coast of Alaska. Then I think yesterday, powerful 7.2 earthquake strikes Philippines. Then Thursday, 7.5 earthquake South Sandwich Islands region. Then earlier, that same area, 8.1. And then Alaska again, 6.9. And these are all powerful earthquakes. I mean, any earthquake from 6 going is powerful. But if you have 6.9, 6.9, 8.1, 7.5, 7.2, 7.2, clearly, these are very serious shakings this world is experiencing this week. And unfortunately for the Haiti one, people died. I don't know that. I've not checked the numbers yet, but it caused destruction there. You know, these are happening in larger numbers. I watched one pastor sometime, a short presentation, and they've done a lot of research using the USGS, United States Geological Survey or something. Their data, the raw data from the seismic machines, and they'll be able to use it to analyze the quakes for a period of time. And the analysis proves that intensity is increasing, and then the duration between the intensity, the strong quakes too, is shortening. So in essence, just like Jesus said, birth pangs, as you know, as a woman goes into labor, where birth pangs, the pain is incremental, and then the duration between the pain also shortens. So big earthquakes are happening, and the period between which they are happening is also getting shorter. And in effect, it just falls in line of just the way Jesus talked about birth pangs or birth pains, depending on the Bible version, regarding the signs of his coming. And, you know, these are critical because, you see, we are seeing a picture of a whole lot of things coming together years back, one earthquake, who a long time before another one you hear again, one something, event happening, war, not so many wars, something happens. You see, you are not having so many, but in our time now, you can just at a glance of any news network, see a whole lot of events happening in a day that are all aligning up with Bible prophecy. And these are things which should draw our attention to the fact that at least we should pay attention to the times we live in. And that's the whole essence of these things we bring to your attention and the news when we discuss it on Issues of Life. Okay, so let me continue with the... We have 5 million people under evacuation order in Japan as rain batters south coast. If you've taken notes for the last 4 or 5 weeks, rain, fire, and these are quite severe ones, the trend doesn't seem to be normal. And this one, 5 million people to be ordered to evacuate, and that's quite a huge number, 5 million. And then North Korea, floods, homes destroyed, and thousands evacuated. The east of North Korea has been struck by severe flooding after heavy rain, leading to homes being destroyed and thousands of people being evacuated. The state broadcaster said some regions have seen over 20 inches of rain in 3 days. That's huge. Then to Turkey, floods. Interestingly, last week Turkey was fire. Now this week, Turkey, floods. Death toll near Black Sea rises to 31. A huge search and rescue operation is underway in northern Turkey after flash floods along the Black Sea coast killed at least 31. And the floods triggered by torrential rain caused some buildings to collapse, smashed bridges, clogged streets with wrecked cars, and cut power supplies. And I saw the video of the cars moving in the flood waters on the streets, and you ask yourself that, you know, if your whole life is in the cars that you own or a car that you own, I mean, the water has just made it useless. And so you realize we just have to, if God blesses us with something, yes, good, we thank him, we use it, but we shouldn't let our life be so attached to worldly and material things, because we just have to understand that whatever we have, we are just using it. But it's not something that we should let it be so heavily linked to our lives that without it, we think we can't exist. And then in Greece, too, they have their serious fires. Greece brings mega fires under control as more blazes threaten southern Europe. That's another headline. And then another headline says, Algeria forest fires, dozens killed in Kabylie region. I mean, a lot is happening in recent times. This headline is not surprising. July was the hottest month on record amid extreme weather around the globe. We just experienced the hottest month as a planet in any of our lifetimes. And we saw the weather extremes that resulted from it. The global temperature in July 2021 was the highest for any July in the 142 years of records, according to data released today. Okay, in this case, it was released on Thursday from NOAA, National Centers for Environmental Information. July is normally the hottest month of the year for the globe, which means last month was the hottest of any of the previous 1,700 months since 1880, when NOAA began keeping records. In this case, first place is the worst place to be. NOAA Director, Administrator Rick Spinrad said July is typically the world's warmest month of the year, but July 2021 outdid itself as the hottest July and month ever recorded. This new record adds to the disturbing and disruptive path that climate change has set for the globe, unquote. The monthly average temperature just eclipsed the previous record set in July 2016, which was then tied in 2019 and 2020, according to NOAA data. And then goes on to say that numerous heat waves were noted during the month, in regions that included the Western U.S., Eastern Europe, and Asia. In addition to the heat, other examples of extreme weather included devastating flash floods in Germany, Belgium, as well as China, and dangerous wildfires across Northern America and Europe. The revelation of the hottest month comes the same week that the world's top climate science body, the UN's IPCC, published a dire report showing that humans are warming the planet faster than previously thought, and the window to prevent catastrophic impacts is closing. Okay, they can close the window, but I can say that greater ones are coming, and these are all God ordained. They can't stop it. They can stop the carbon emission. They can stop whatever methane emission. They can stop all the things they think they can stop as humans and scientists. But when the judgment of God is unfolding, no scientific ideas or technological strategies can put a hold to it. The reason is, you see, way back January, 1st January, I remember hearing one man of God stating exactly some of these things that is going to happen. And these are all things God is allowing to happen to caution the world. So you see, so if on January 1st, a prophet of God says these things will happen, and it happens exactly as he said, I mean, clearly this is not about science. It's not about global warming. This is clearly God allowed things to happen. So the scientists can say what they want to say, they can do what they want to do, but it's not going to stop, because clearly the Bible we read gives us the understanding that in these times, a lot of things are going to happen regarding nature and all these science and things. Then Italy may have hit Europe's hottest day on record. And this headline, I couldn't believe it when I saw it. It says, Italy may have hit Europe's hottest day on record as anticyclone, and the name that they gave the anticyclone was Lucifer, sweeps in. So anticyclone name, the name Lucifer sweeps in. When I saw it, well, yes, it looked just like a name, but, you know, some of these things are coded messages signaling us of what is coming. Authorities in Italy say the island of Sicily may have set an all-time heat record for Europe, hitting a temperature of 48.8 degrees Celsius. The city of Syracuse hit the blistering record on Wednesday afternoon as an anticyclone, which Italian media reports are referring to as Lucifer, swept in and continues to move north up the country. A persistent heat wave around the Mediterranean in Europe and North Africa has contributed to some of the worst fires seen there in years. Interesting name. Interesting name, you know. Sometimes you just, names are, they give names, but they are just, it look like, oh, it's just name, but some are just used to also give us a reminder if perhaps you've forgotten of what is coming. Someone just gives the name, but whoever or whatever prompted him to give that name, it's not just ordinary. Is to tell us what is coming. Remind us of the evil that is coming ahead. All right. So, goes on to say that in Northern Hemisphere, I skipped this line. At the moment, there are no reasons to invalidate it. But if possible, we will make an ex post evaluation of the accuracy of the measurements. And then they go on and on. And indeed, the UN is the report that was released this week, you know, so they are going to cut emissions. Europe, I think some countries are setting by 2030, they will not use petrol and diesel cars again. And all those things, countries are going to cut pollution, gases and all. Okay, all the best. They should go on, but we'll just be watching from here. Historic drought now threatening California farms that supply much food in the U.S. And this is very worrying. And because in the valleys of Central California, the search for water has turned into an all-out obsession as the region suffers through a drought that could threaten the U.S. food supply, according to a new report from MSN News. Residents have watched watched with dismay as verdant fields have turned into brown, dusty plains, leaving shriveled trees, dying plants, and exasperated farmers. Much of California and of the broader U.S. West has suffered through years of lighter than usual precipitation, and particularly dry winter. State and local authorities, fearful that there may not be enough water for city dwellers or wildlife, have abruptly cut supplies to farms, provoking anger and consternation. Along the routes between major farming operations, billboards have popped up everywhere, urging Save California's Water. They accuse the authorities of dumping our water in the ocean. Growers complain that the state's Democratic governor, Gavin Newsom, is strangling them under a mountain of pointless restrictions, leaving them unable to fill their usual role in supplying America's supermarkets. And if you talk to anyone in the U.S., they will attest to the fact that cost of food is going up, cost of items, groceries, going up. The inflation, they are seeing inflation that they've not seen in many years. All right. Now, West Africa. This one says, West Africa placed on high alert as first case of deadly Ebola-like Marburg virus with 88% fatality rate detected. Highly infectious hemorrhagic virus similar to Ebola has been detected for the first time in West Africa. And this is in Guinea. According to the Telegraph, the Marburg virus was detected in a male patient who has since died, according to the WHO. The pathogen is from the same family of viruses as Ebola, but it has no known vaccines or treatments and a fatality rate as high as 88%. The individual sought treatment in the Gokedu province, a region in southeast Guinea, close to the both Sierra Leone and Liberia, raising some concerns that it could jump across the borders. The potential for the Marburg virus to spread far and wide means we need to stop it in its tracks, said Dr. Mashidiso Moeti, the WHO's regional director for Africa, adding that Guinea's health workers had instigated quick investigative action and they are doing contact tracing. So far, they've gotten 155 people. Anyway, I know I've not had any news since then, but that's quite worrying. If they are not able to contain it and it spreads, then another trouble for Africa. Okay, we have Russia and China hold large-scale military drills. Russia and China are holding large-scale military exercise in North Central China involving more than 10,000 troops, Russia's defense ministry said on Tuesday. According to Reuters, the Sibu Cooperation 2021 drills in China's Ningxia region are being watched for signs that China and Russia are expanding military cooperation as they spar with the West. Russia's Kommersant newspaper said the drills taking place until Friday marked the first time Russian soldiers would use Chinese weapons. Russia and China have conducted drills since 2005. Moscow sent Sukhoi Su-30SM fighter aircraft, motorized rifle units, and other units. And, you know, these two countries are the biggest countries that can really cause U.S. a lot of problems. And it's quite worrying because a number of people have had these dreams and warnings how Russia will attack the U.S. in the coming time, not too long in coming. I mean, and a lot is happening. The way things are going, some of these things are not going to take that long. Because America is really treading on very, very dangerous grounds, extremely dangerous grounds now. And it's very, very serious. This next news goes on to say that SEC, that's the Security and Exchange Commission in the U.S., approves LGBT and then race quotas for publicly traded companies. All companies that trade on the NASDAQ, that's the U.S. stock exchange, will now have to meet race and LGBT diversity quotas. And when I saw this news, I see things, news that shock me all the time, but you know, some are bigger shocks than others. It's amazing that so, in essence, what this means is that about 3,000 companies in the U.S. will have to make changes to their directors, their management, in terms of, so if you don't have blacks in your minorities in your direct among your directors, you have to make room for some. If you don't have LGBT people, so the minority groups, so LGBT or the colors or black or whatever. But you see, the fact that this LGBT clause is in there, so you have to now make room. Either you expand your directorship to have extra, or you are removing some directors and then you are bringing in some LGBT people or a black or some Asian or whatever. But you see, this whole thing about recognition and by force recognition is really serious. It tells you how the society is just going downwards. The nation's financial markets regulator has approved a plan by NASDAQ to implement that all companies trading on this exchange meet diversity quotas. The NASDAQ stock market first submitted its proposed rule change to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission in December. It will affect roughly 3,000 companies. Now approved, the proposal will require listed companies, quote, to have at least one director who self-identifies as female, unquote, and at least one director who self-identifies as black or African-American, Hispanic or Latins, Latino or Latina, Latino or Latina, and then Asian, Native American or Alaska Native, Native Hawaiian or Pacific Islander, two or more races or ethnicities, or as LGBTQ+. So now you can't have a company listed on the U.S. stock exchange without these conditions as part of your management, your top board. Companies must turn over data on the racial, gender, and sexual identifications of board members. How? The new rule requires the companies to provide statistical information in a proposed uniform format on the company's board of directors related to a director's self-identified gender, race, and self-identification as LGBTQ+. Since when? Whether you're a board of a company, that companies employ you based on how you have sex. Since when did the world become this way? So now, being a board member, now you have to state, this world, it just shows, I keep saying that if Sodom and Gomorrah had the opportunity that we have to have preachers and prophets, evangelists, telling them the word of God that they should repent because there's hell, perhaps they might have changed. They didn't have the Ten Commandments. They didn't have evangelists. They didn't have prophets to warn them. But they got the judgment of God. We fast forward to our time now. We have no excuse because all those people know. They know this is wrong and this is right. They know, even to the point where the dictionary defines that lifestyle as if it calls a gay person, and that alternative is sodomite, from the word Sodom. The issue of the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is known within the gay community. They know it, and they laugh at it. They mock at it, to the point where sometimes they want it to be expunged from the Bible, remove that part of the Bible, because they hate it, the fact that God would bring judgments on that type of lifestyle. So they know it. But now, this self-pushing that recognize us, is what baffles my mind, because who cares about how you have sex? Who cares about that? But why would you want to walk and announce that this is how I do things? it shows how the world has turned its head upside down and how serious it is for our children, because these same people with this same attitude are pushing it down onto the children. One of the news items I'm about to read, it's clearly realized that gender is on to destroy the children. You see, that's why I'm paying a lot of attention to this digital parenting, because I see the reports, I read some of the research works, and I see the evidence and all, and you know that the devil is busy working through their agents. Unfortunately, because most of us parents are ignorant about these things, we don't seem to see and understand what is happening behind the scenes. So we are just caught in the trap of technology, and we are just giving in and following blindly. But they are using it seriously against us. So that's why we talk about these things on this program. Okay, so we go on to Scotland. And this is upset. It says, Scotland just decided that four-year-olds can now choose their own gender at school without the consent of their parents. You see how they are destroying the children. The Scottish government has just issued new guidelines to the primary schools allowing 4- and 5-year-olds to change genders and decide, without parental consent, what name they want to be called, according to a new report by CBN News. The guidance tells teachers they are not to question children who say they want to transition to live as a boy or a girl. Instead, they should just ask for their new name and pronouns. In UK's Daily Mail reports, teachers are told they do not have to inform parents what their young children are saying about their gender. Scottish Education Secretary Shelley Ann Somerville said, quote, "This guidance outlines how schools can support transgender young people whilst ensuring that the rights of all peoples are fully respected," unquote. Quote again, it's provide schools with practical suggestions and guidance, is not prescriptive and does not promote transitioning, she said. According to the Daily Mail, primary and secondary schools have also been told to put books featuring transgender people on the curriculum, allowing pupils to choose which changing room or toilet to use, and consider introducing a gender-neutral uniform. Hey! No. But the guidance was branded shocking and led to concerns that children are being allowed to make life-changing decisions at too young an age. The advice says some young people are exploring their gender identity in primary school settings. Primary schools need to be able to meet the needs of these young people to ensure they have a safe, inclusive, and respectful environment in which to learn. A section on changing name and recorded sex says, that's I think the document, says children simply need to tell others informally that they want to use a different name and that they don't need to record this formally on their official school record. Advice to school staff on what to do if a child wants to discuss their gender includes asking, quote, what name and pronoun you should use to address them, unquote. The new guidelines also state that people are not required by Scottish law to use toilets that match their birth gender, according to Express News. The policy was defended by Shelley Ann Somerville, the SNP's education secretary. She said, quote, this guidance outlines how schools can support transgender young people whilst ensuring the rights of all peoples are fully respected. It provides schools with practical suggestions. The guidance is not prescriptive. Okay, and then goes on and on. And you see, this is worrying. 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds should decide. Now, the first thing is, where will the 4-year-old and 5-year-old know that he can change from a boy to a girl or from a girl to a boy? You see, someone has to teach that boy or that girl. And this is where they are using the educational system, entertainment system, and then the media to influence these children negatively. Because ideally, if there's no external information to this 4 or 5 year old child, how would the child know that he can change from a boy to a girl? Because I can't imagine how a 5 year old or 4 year old on his own would just suddenly feel like, I want to become a girl. I'm a girl, I want to become a boy. It hasn't happened. It hasn't happened in our generation. We grew up, we didn't feel like changing from monkeys to zebras or zebras to chimpanzees. If you're a boy, you are proud to be a boy. If you're a girl, you are proud to be a girl. Simple as that. But now, something is influencing these children and these people to feel like changing from A to B or from B to A. Something is causing the need to change. And that is the information they are being exposed to. Aside the educational curriculum, which is also a whole poison on its own that they are pushing through, the entertainment system is another major tool they are using. The media. The media landscape is so polluted and poisoned with LGBT branded information that if you just leave your child uncontrolled with easy access to watch whatever they want to watch, whatever they want to play with, you would be shocked and amazed that one day your little boy will tell you or little girl will tell you that, "Mommy, I want to change from a boy to girl." Or a girl will say, "I want to change to be a boy." Because, you see, the same information that they are exposed to in their programming, in cartoons and games and all, is largely the similar things we are also having here in our TV stations or at decoders, those who have a lot of channels on their decoders. It's the same foreign channels that people are watching here. You see, so whatever those children are watching there that is destroying them, some Ghanaians also have access to these same channels here because of the satellite system. So if care is not taken, you'll be here in Ghana, and if you don't know about this digital parenting things we talk about, and you think all is well with your child, and you have the shock of your life when your child starts talking the same things I've been reading in these news items. So parents, the battle lines have been drawn. It's time to wage war spiritually and protect your families. We have to protect the children because, you see, the devil is really fighting hard. They are coming. I mean, they don't hide it. They say it in various ways that they are coming after the children. They are coming after our children. The children that are not spoiled yet, they have plans for them. They are coming after them. They try various ways. Like in Ghana, they try to bring it through the comprehensive sexuality education. It failed. And then that one too, they are struggling with the new textbooks. And up to now, I don't know what is happening with that one too. But you see, they don't give up. They tried that one and it failed. So if it has failed, don't be surprised. The cartoons and programming that free stations, free to air will be showing may be containing some of these things because, you see, the danger with these things is that most of our media houses, the TV stations, free to air, they don't really have money to be buying content. I mean, so a lot of these things are just free things they get. So, free things there. Ghana, so there, you know, the way we love free things. Hey, donation from abroad. Then we are happy. We are dancing. We are celebrating. Then we go and receive it. Let's be careful. Let me continue. We have this news that says, this is also from Scotland. Let's go to the U.S. Now they know that when I mention U.S., there's nothing good that comes. Atlanta school tells parents their kindergarten kids should leave district if they don't like LGBTQ+ teaching. Another inclusive public school system appears determined to push the LGBTQ+ agenda on children, teaching them about such concepts even in kindergarten. According to CBN News, when one Catholic couple found out about the controversial curriculum and questioned it, they were told by an Atlanta public elementary school principal their child would need to leave the district to avoid learning about LGBTQ+ issues at the age of 5, the Daily Wire reported. The couple, who remained anonymous in the outlet's reports out of fear of reprisal, received a flyer from the child's new teacher, which had her Amazon wish list. They were surprised when they found out the list contained books that reference sexual orientation, transgenderism, and progressive ideology. And this is what is happening. So you see, if you are not careful, and that because it's happening in some schools where they hide it from the parents, so they don't give the children any assignments in that regard or books to take home. So they just teach it in class, and they also try to tell the children they shouldn't tell their parents they learned about these things in school. So if you are a parent and you don't really inquire from your child what are you learning in school and be a little inquisitive, you think your child is learning ABCD 1, 2, 3, but they are teaching the child the colors of the rainbow and the meaning of it in the other way around. You know, this is, you know, they don't care about morals again. Forget about morals. The world we are in now, leaders don't care about morals. Politicians don't care about morals. The system itself doesn't care about morals. It's all about how the world should go. This is how they've shaped it. They want the world to go. So either you conform or now they see you as you are resisting. And the system will try to fight you in various ways. You see, so you realize that if Africa as it stands now is the least, is the last continent with quote-unquote good morals as it is, largely. Of course, we are also not correct in various ways, but regarding these issues. But, you know, they are bent, the Yanom people, you know them. They really mean to penetrate and infiltrate our system to spoil our children, just as theirs are spoiled there. They want ours to spoil at all costs, whatever means they try exploring. That's why I keep warning about the TV content, because you see, knowing these people, they will try every means possible, and the TV is one good way they can use and get us free content, free programming. And we know ourselves, when they bring free materials, how many TV stations in Ghana, when they bring free cartoons, get it and show on your free network. You are not paying any royalties, free, no copyright, just show it on your network. How many channels in Ghana, network TV stations, would say no? The next question, how many would critically review these things with the eye of understanding and looking out for LGBTQ poison in there? And by the way, see, these things that they put in the children programming, you don't expect to see full nudity like porn nudity type. No, that's not what is it, but it's suggestive. That's, for those who watch who are part of the online conference, the Digital Parenting online conference this evening, you saw the pictures that I showed in the cartoon. When I was talking about the cartoons thing, you see, it's suggestive. So the picture, yes, you are not seeing any nudity in there, but the suggestion that they are putting across is sending a message to the child. And they know, you see, the human mind is very complicated, subliminal, the consciousness, they know how to reach out to the child. These people are not just ordinary people. We have specialists who are well-trained, who understand how to design things for children and how to get them. You see, so we are this whole thing, it's a real battle. It's not as simple as it looks, like, anything goes. It's a real battle we are talking about here. And the battle is to destroy the children. And then, let me get to the next one. Virginia School District passes controversial policy forcing teachers to use trans pronouns and allow students to choose preferred restrooms. Virginia School District has passed a new policy that, among others, allows trans-identified students to use bathrooms that correspond with their gender identity and requires teachers to refer to students by their preferred names and pronouns. According to a report from the Christian Post, the Loudoun County School Board voted 7-2 again on Wednesday to approve policy 08040, rights of transgender and gender expansive students, despite considerable opposition to the proposal. Amongst its provisions, policy 8040 requires that school faculty and staff use the chosen name and pronouns of a student who identifies as gender expansive or transgender. This is the first time I'm reading this one. Gender expansive. Wow. Okay. School staff shall, at the request of a student or parent, legal guardian, when using a name or pronoun to address the student, use the name and pronoun that correspond to their consistently asserted gender identity, reads the policy. The use of gender-neutral pronouns is appropriate. Inadvertent slips in the use of names or pronouns may occur. However, staff or students who intentionally and persistently refuse to respect the student's gender identity by using the wrong name and gender pronoun are in violation of this policy. The Daily Mail stated, "The best interest of every child is what guides my every vote," said Atusa Reza, the vice chair of the school board. And he's happy about it. Tonight, the school board adopted the policy to protect our transgender students because feeling safe and welcome is the first step to learning. The new policy allows transgender student athletes to participate on sports teams based on their gender identity and permits them to use aligning bathrooms and locker rooms. Educators and district staff are also required to call students by their preferred pronouns. In addition, school mental health professionals will now be required to complete training on topics relating to LGBTQ+ students, such as bullying, harassment, and discrimination. You know, something which you can go to school from KG to university, first degree, second degree, PhD, and you never encounter this in your life. Somebody saying, "I'm a boy, I feel like a girl, I'm a girl, changing to a boy," changing, transgender itself, open, not that secretly, but open. I mean, it has never been an open thing. But now, it's now open, there's no shame about it. And they are now pushing their way through the system. And is that serious? Because I saw an article today where they are looking at, actually, eventually, you see, it will be coming from the UN level, where they are now eventually going to make it an outlaw that anything criticizing them and all that will be illegal in the world. I mean, plans are in line with things like that. And you see, the whole thing is targeting Christians. And it's coming soon. Christians in the world, it's just a matter of time. We'll be the most hated. Already it's picking up in some places, but eventually it will be worldwide. When more demonic activity increases, we are going to see things happening. Christians will be the most hated people, I mean creatures or characters on this earth. It's like we'll be hated everywhere. And we are getting there gradually, and you know, gradually, but at a little faster pace now. Things are picking up a bit faster. We are getting there. So we have to understand some of these things, that it's just a matter of time. We won't see the way it is in the US, for instance, in Ghana. Our cultural values it's more of a resistance to them, but they want to use all means to tie us down as countries, for instance. So now pressure is mounting on our government, our parliament and governments, as to this LGBT bill in parliament and all that. Because sometimes, see, when you're a beggar, that's the issue. Now, when these same people will go and beg and do la la shulala to support our budget for grants, for free vaccines and all. Now, when they tell you that if you don't stop this thing, we'll not give you that. Do you think we can continue? By the time you realize the thing has become... As you know, Ghana, You see, so a lot of pressure is on the government not to pass this bill in parliament. But let's see. The program is Issues of Life. I'll be back after this. We talk a little about the digital parenting and a few more things tonight.
Is not in vain, for I found to live is Christ.
a very beautiful song by Craig Phillips and Dean, or Phillips Craig and Dean, Crucified with Christ. As I look back on what I thought was living, I'm amazed at the price I choose to pay, and to think I ignored what really mattered, because I thought the sacrifice would be too great. But when I finally reached the point of giving in, I found the cross was calling even then. And even though it took dying to survive, I've never felt so much alive. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Not I, but Christ that lives within me. His cross will never ask for more than I can give, for it's not my strength, but his. There is no greater sacrifice, for I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. As I hear the Savior call for daily dying, I will bow beneath the weight of Calvary. Let my hand surrender to his piercing purpose that holds me to the cross but sets me free. I will glory in the power of the cross. The things I thought were gain, I count as loss. And with his suffering, I identify. And by his resurrection power, I am alive. And then the bridge says, not so that, and I will offer all I have, so that his cross is not in vain. For I found to live is Christ, and to die is truly gain. Very, very beautiful song. The lyrics are really straight on point. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And you see, this is the foundation of our belief. This is the foundation of our Christianity, that we know who we are and crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We have to understand who lives in us. Christ lives in us. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And, you know, the devil knows this very well. And that's why he will do everything and anything to derail us from this life of Christ living in us. You know, let me read Psalm 101 verse 3. I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. The reason is, the eyes, a window is like a window to the soul. The eye is not just as simple as the eye. Like you see colors, you see things on the TV, you see things on the screen, the phone, the tablets, whatever. But the eye is a window into you, your real you. And what you watch, what you see, makes an impact on you. So the psalmist is saying, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. So we have to then decide what we put in front of us, what we watch. We have to choose that we don't set any wicked thing. And in this case, what is a wicked thing? A wicked thing is something that is sinful, that is wrong, that is an abomination, that is offensive to God, that is wrong biblically as Christians, doesn't meet the standard of holiness and all. That is something that is causing you to sin, will cause you to sin, will draw you away from Christ and all that. You can classify them as something wicked. So things which we watch on the screens is what in this case we are focusing on. Last week I spoke a bit about it as well. And Proverbs 22:6, quite a popular one, where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I left one news item, but I left it purposely to talk about it now, because it fits exactly what I'm talking about tonight. This headline says, Robin revealed as possibly bisexual in latest issue of Batman comic book. Batman comic book. So this book is for children. In the latest comic book in the Batman universe, the superhero sidekick character, Robin, seemingly reveals himself to be romantically interested in a male friend, an indication that he might be bisexual. In Batman Urban Legends number 6, published by DC Comics on Tuesday, Tim Drake, whose alter ego is Robin, was asked out on a date by his friend Bernard. Batman's sidekick accepted the offer, thereby making him the latest well-established fictional character to become associated with the LGBT community. Fictional character, comic. You see, they are pushing the agenda everywhere to the children. So a comic, I mean, when I was a child, I remember those times coming, some of the comics that, you know, as a child, you just look at the colors and you just, the funny characters and nothing harmful. But now, even if you see a comic book or someone buys you a comic book from outside the country and they send it to your children, an uncle or someone is coming from abroad and, oh, let me buy these comic books for my nieces or nephews or grandchild or something. Now you have to scrutinize everything with your eyes wide open like a torchlight just to ensure that everything there is correct. The world has changed. The world has changed. Whether we believe it or not, the world is now, is not the same world we grew up in. You see, so now, a comic book, Batman, all these years, Batman has been just a superhero and all that. But now, see what they are doing with a character in Batman. You see, so the agenda is obvious. I mean, for listeners who have been listening to this program, you can perfectly understand these things because we've talked a lot about these things in how they are using it to change their children and quite a number of issues. We've said it over and over and over on this program. So it goes on to say, Bernard then asked Drake, do you want to go out on a date with me? Tim answered in the affirmative, yeah, I think I want that. The storyline ended in a cliffhanger to be resolved in Batman Urban Legends, the next edition, scheduled for publication in December. So you see, it's going to be a series. So the next edition is going to go deeper. The relationship is going to start in the next edition. LGBT relationship in a kid's comic. After Bernard arrived, and then, yeah, it goes on. Yeah, and then they describe, yeah. So Drake hinted at an attraction to Bernard earlier in the issue when the two were scheduled to meet at a restaurant. As he waited for Bernard to arrive, Drake thought to himself, why am I so nervous? It's fine, Tim. You haven't seen him in a while, but he's still the same guy. After Bernard arrived, Drake lost his train of thoughts when he saw his old friend for the first time in a while. In addition to exchanging formalities, the two shared a hug. Before Bernard asked Drake out on a date, he shared his feelings about his old friend with Robin, apparently not realizing that Drake and Robin are the same person. Bernard pushed the superhero to tell Tim Drake, he helped me realize my true self. You see, subtle way of pushing it, realizing your true self. And that's how they talk about this thing. Come out of your true self. Be yourself. So he helped me realize my true self, who I am, and tell him I wished we could have finished our date. The new development comes after Drake dated women in the past. You see, so now he's coming out of his true self. And I will not be surprised the next edition, then he's going to declare himself as he's going that way. You see, and this is meant for children and teenagers and youth. I mean, it's a material for, there's no limits. So we have to be extremely, extremely careful. Extremely careful. Then the article goes on to write that, I wanted to pay tribute to the fact that sexuality is a journey. And I missed the paragraph. Let me continue. Writer Megan Fritz-Martin told Polygon that Robin's reveal was part of the Sum of Our Parts storyline. Fritz-Martin explained that the storyline happened because this is who Tim is. I love this character very much, and as I went back to reread as much as I could to do Robin justice, it became clear this is the story Tim needed to tell. Fritz Martin told Polygon, adding that it needed to be a story about identity and discovery. Do you hear? Identity and discovery. So, identifying who you are and discovering the real you. And that's exactly how they phrase these things. She added that Drake wasn't put a label on himself quite yet, and the new storyline does not hurt the credibility of Robin's decades-long relationship with teen superhero and all blah blah blah. And I wanted to pay tribute to the fact that sexuality is a journey. Can you imagine that? A journey. Fritz Martin was quoted as saying, to be clear, his feelings for Stephanie have been or are 100% real, or are his feelings for Bernard. However, Tim is still figuring himself out. I don't think he has the language for it at all yet. So this is the writer. And look at how she describes it, that sexuality is a journey. So that means if you are traveling from Accra to Kumasi, then you can change your course and pass through Kofodia and end up in Volta region. I mean, so that's how they see gender now. And that's what they are telling the children. Through any means, they can tell the children their story to confuse the children and then eventually get them to buy into it. And Batman Urban Legends number 6 is not the first time DC Comics has attempted to rebrand one of its characters to appease the secular culture. In Batman number 53, released in 2018, Bruce Wayne, Batman's alter ego, abandons his Christian faith and becomes an atheist. In recent years, as the LGBT advocacy group GLAAD has pushed for 20% of all television characters to be LGBT by 2025. Let me repeat. By 2025, the agenda is to have at least 20% of all television characters to be LGBT. In other words, all entertainment should be LGBT compliant by then, 20% of characters. Several television programs based on well-known characters first created decades ago have introduced LGBT storylines. In 2018, the CW television network announced the greenlighting of TV series based on the character Batwoman that portrayed the title superheroine as a lesbian. Just last month, The Muppet Babies, which depicts the early childhood years of the legendary Muppets, created by the late Jim Henson. The character Gonzo cross-dresses and attends a social event as Gonzorella. Similarly, in 2019 episode of the PBS animated series, Arthur features the title character's teacher, Mr. Ratben, entering into a same-sex marriage. So all these things, children material, but they are pushing it through. And these are cartoons. How many cartoons on our TVs? There are some that they show on our TVs. This one, I've seen some. So it's not that there are some on our TV screens, on our networks. There are some, I remember, not only the LGBT, but other dangerous things. I mean, introducing children to witchcraft. And one Saturday morning, I was doing some cleanup and I just turned the TV. I don't know what I was looking for anyway. Just turned the TV on. And for whatever reason, I saw one of the channels free to air. And so I was just watching. And it's about witchcraft, teaching children how to get into witchcraft. And as simple as that, they are doing it. You see, so Saturday morning, when children are busy watching cartoons, mothers are busy washing, busy cooking, or they've gone for funeral, gone for a program. Children are home alone with house help or with grandmother or something. And, oh, okay, cartoon is safe. They should watch. There's nothing wrong with it. And they are being taught how to be witches. So by the time you realize one day you wake up, and this one, a lady said this in a church Sunday school. Hey, she said she woke up one day around 1 a.m. and saw one of his little boy. This boy is about 4 or 5. And the boy had crossed the leg on the bed and is like chanting. because she saw it in a movie. You see, so these are real. It's happening. Children are being influenced by what they see. Last week, another friend was telling me of a neighbor who she had a call from outside, like the neighbor called that she should rush to the apartment, but there's confusion there. A 9-year-old daughter, the girl, has picked a knife and was threatening the house help. You see, how on earth would a girl, 9 years, if she has not seen it somewhere, what would go through the mind of this girl to pick a knife and threaten to stab someone, a house help? You see, so what they are watching is destroying them subtly. They are changing little by little. See, and as a parent, you may not notice it because some of these changes is behind the scenes. So you won't, so far as you know, your little girl is still a good girl, your boy is still a good boy. When you send them, they go to church, they do their quiet time, they are doing well in school, they respect you. I mean, so it looks like all is well. Yes, still a good Christian home. But underneath, something is boiling. Without you, the parents, being aware that the things they've been watching is destroying them. Their good morals is being eroded a little at a time. See, so when we talk about these things, that parents should be careful of what they let their children watch. It's not just some noise making. These are realities with a lot of cases we can line up to let parents understand the dangers that are really happening. And these are real issues. Things are happening. You see, so you would think, oh, my children can't do these things. But you see, when they start watching things and it's influencing them negatively, it becomes a far serious issue because some of these things are demonic-backed programs. And as Christians, we understand these things can influence you negatively because there are people who have fallen into dangerous habits and lifestyles just by watching things on TV. They got into wild lifestyles, struggling to come out and all that by simply watching something on TV. They saw it and then the spirit started controlling. These are realities, spiritual realities. See, so we have to really do all we can to guide and guard the children. For those who send questions or message, 0244-638-757, WhatsApp and SMS. And yes, you can send it in the course of the program. I'll open the phone lines for parents and listeners to share their experiences or to advise and all that. Let me read this then. Part of one of the research works, violence in the media, psychologists study potential harmful effects. Early research on the effects of viewing violence on television, especially among young children, found a desensitizing effect and the potential for aggression. And then, is it true for games? So video games, cartoons and all, they become aggressive after they start watching violent things. That's aggression, one thing. And then when they are also watching sexually related things, they are also drawn into that lifestyle. So that's how come now they would want to be sexually active earlier than they should have been. Because they are watching these things, they are seeing these things, and parents sometimes are just not aware of what is happening. And, you know, the reality is that a lot of parents have no idea about these things at all. They have no idea their children are engaged in things. They have no idea what their children have been watching. But parents have to really be interested in their lives, their children's lives or their world's lives now, because now more than ever, this is the time to be a serious parent. And that's how we call it, this digital parents, because the generation is a digital generation. And if you just want to go the old school way as a parent, that one day, I can tell you, you will be surprised one day you realize, hey, into baby, I'm here in yang, all the efforts you put in, if you don't modernize the parenting strategy, plus the Holy Spirit guiding you with the fear of God in your home and all that, if you don't re-strategize some things and put some things in place, you'll be amazed to see the effects of your carelessness one day, because as you allow them free hand in whatever they watch, and you'd have some homes where there's a TV in the children's room. One of the biggest mistakes you can make is to allow the children to have a TV in their room. Yes, if you've bought a new TV and the old one is of no use, there are people who don't have any. Find someone and give. If you don't even have nobody to give at all, pack it in a box and put it somewhere under a bed or whatever. But to let the children have a TV in their room, I mean, it's dangerous. The fact that you can afford does not mean you should let them have it. It's very dangerous because, see, let me give you why it is dangerous. A few years ago, a friend wrote a petition with another broadcaster, and they petitioned the National Media Commission regarding two stations that were showing pornography on their on Ghana, our TV networks, TV open to air, were showing pornography in the night. But the reason why I'm bringing this example is that there are times you are struggling to sleep. So, okay, let me watch something. And this can happen. The child can be struggling to sleep. And then, okay, let me turn on the TV. Oh, okay, let me see. Let me change channels. Let me see what they are watching. So, in flipping channels, 1 a.m., 12:30, and those were the times, I think, those stations were showing those full-blown pornography. They were showing them on the network. So, this friend and another journalist, they filed a petition to NMC, and the TV stations were sanctioned and all that. See, until that case happened, I didn't even know about that. Like, that's, there were TV stations that were showing these things in the country. But just to let you understand how some of these things can affect you indirectly, because assuming your child has a TV in the room, the child is struggling to sleep, decides to turn on the TV, reduces the volume so that mom or dad will not hear the TV is on, and it's just flipping channels. And then, per chance, happens to get to a channel where they are showing some of these adult contents at night or midnight, 1 a.m., thinking children are asleep, so they can show these things. They shouldn't show anyway, but, you know, sometimes Ghana in our lawlessness, it will be amazing. Some station may just be pushing a movie and it's there. And if your child sees this, can you imagine the effects? You see, so a harmless activity like, oh, a spare TV in the house, let me put it in the room. Now, you've rather brought a big temptation that has opened the door to a very difficult lifestyle to control. Because even adults struggle to come out of this lifestyle, this habit. And if your child gets exposed to it at an early age, can you imagine the harm, the difficulty? You see, so that's why if the TV is not there, there's not there. But if you have the TV in a room, something can be on the screen that may be a problem. But if the TV is in the main hall, at least that one, the chances of someone popping in to see is high. So at least there's some level of control and fear that no, I can't watch this or something. So at least parents, let's learn from that one, at least. If not at all, please, for the sake of your children, don't put a spare TV in the children's room. And then the access to computers, you have a computer, they have a tablet. See, it's not bad for them to have these things. But then it becomes a problem if you don't regulate the usage. So, for instance, in our case, they don't go to their room and sleep with their tablets that they use to learn, like they have their learning, some learning materials and blah 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 on them, but that they will go in their room and sleep with it overnight. No, it doesn't happen. And even that, you have to bring rules. How long should they use it? Sometimes 1 hour, 2 hours, that's it. If school is in session, Monday to Friday, not at all. Only Saturday or Sunday, they have access for it. You see, bring rules at home. Control the usage of technology, what they watch, how long they should watch. Because if you just leave it open-ended, and then they can just watch whatever they want, they can play as long as they want on the tablet, on the phone, or on the computer, you are setting a very dangerous stage for them. Because in as much as it may not be harmful things that they are watching or they are doing, there is also the other side. We'll talk about it in the course of this series. The addictive aspect of technology, where the addiction can be so strong. Some forms of technological addiction is equated to addiction to cocaine and heroin. And when we get into these aspects, I will go deeper. And you see, the withdrawal symptoms and the controls are not easy. Even adults are struggling with some of these symptoms. You see, so as parents, we should protect our children and then help them not to get into some of these difficulties. So, one, if we fail to control their access to technology and gadgets in the house, eventually we'll pay the price at the end of the day, because failure to control it now will now turn around to control them and eventually affect you, the parents. So that's why we talk about these things, that what they watch, let's be guided by it. Parents control what they watch. You know, if it's about the movies, cartoons, and all, there are good Christian ones, a lot of good Christian programs on YouTube. You can get them and download for free, a whole lot of them on YouTube. Because if we don't control, be the producer at home. And see, but most times it comes back to, you don't have time, parents don't have time. So in the name of you don't have time, we've allowed a lot of things to slip. But we must take control. So find a way, if you need help, someone to assist you to get them, whatever. Get help. Let someone get them for you, you copy or something. Because you just can't let the system be as it is. We can't go that way. Because, you see, we have to protect the children. We have to protect our families. We have to guard our families. Because, as I keep saying, the devil, he set his target to destroy the children as well as the adults. The adults, yes, you can stand, but what about the children? And you see, and the strategies they are using is so subtle that if you are not careful, you would not see it. That's why we talk about some of these things, because most parents have no idea some of the technologies at play, some of the things happening behind the scenes and all that. So that's why we should be guided by these things. Let me read this part of this research work. You know, the reason why I read this academic paperwork, scientific research and all that, so that it's not, you realize that it's not only from the spiritual side that even there's a problem. The sociologists and the psychologists and the scientists and the social scientists are also seeing that there's a problem. So if these people who are, they do this research not from the Christian point of view, but from the strict scientific academic point of view, if even they are able to get evidence to show the dangers, then how much more we as Christians, when we understand things better from the spiritual point of view? You see, so when we combine our spiritual understanding of the times we are in, what the devil is seeking to do and is doing, and then what the scientists are saying and have been saying, then we have a better picture, so that we can really be well focused in our resistance against the strategies of the enemy. That's the whole essence of these things that we talk about and discuss here. So it goes on to say that as a result of 15 years of consistently disturbing findings about the violent content of children's programs. The Surgeon General's Scientific Advisory Committee on the Television and Social Behavior was formed in 1969. Take note, 1969. To assess the impact of violence on the attitudes, values, and behavior of viewers. Way back in 1969, they started doing this research in the US. 1969. Now, let me ask a question. The content on media, on TV, in 1969, compared to 2021, our time, can you compare the difference? We've moved from, like, it's a whole generational gap. The content on TV then, compared to our time today, the difference is huge. In terms of negatively, I'm not positive, negatively. So if even then, this research paper, this research findings, they were able to get such negative findings then, how much more our time? When the children are exposed to far more violent and negative content compared to years back. Then he goes on to say that so the resulting reports and a follow-up report in 1982 by the National Institute of Mental Health identified these major effects of seeing violence on television. One, children may become less sensitive to the pain and suffering of others. Children may be more fearful of the world around them. And then three, children may be more likely to behave in aggressive or harmful ways toward others. Let me look at talk about the first one. Children may become less sensitive to the pain and suffering of others. Have you noticed that in recent times, or in our time now, an accident has happened? People are in pain. And instead of people helping, they rather take a camera to take pictures and video. Insensitive. They have no feeling. These are the effects of media on the minds of people. So now people have lost their real human nature of love towards another human being. So when someone is in pain, rather the first instinct is, let me take a camera and take a video and pictures and put on social media. Not rather, how fast can we help this person? Are we calling fire service? Are we calling police? Ambulance? Those are not the first reflective actions of the people. Say, of course, some people are still quote unquote still human beings, so they would have empathy and act correctly as human beings. But a larger group of people now don't care about, they don't have feelings. But these things just don't happen one day. It's a process, a gradual process of softly killing the feelings for fellow human beings through the things they watch. So now, it's serious. I mean, and I saw a video some years back. It's very worrying, where this girl was, it's a foreign video. This girl was standing at the roof, at the top of a high-rise building. Not very high, but story, a few floors, and threatening to jump or about to jump. And down were a whole lot of youth. And instead of people making the effort to dissuade her, stop her, or try to get something to catch her if she jumps and all, rather they started shouting, jump, 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 jump. And the girl jumped. I mean, I realize this generation is in trouble. Because there's no feeling of a life that is about to be lost. They don't, it's all about, you see, that frenzy, that is like social media and entertainment. And you see, so now their feelings is being numbed gradually. And that's what this scientific paper research is talking about. And this one is research findings from 1969 and 1982. That's why I did a comparison that even now, compared now, fast forward to our time, we have it will be far serious than what they found in those years. And this is the reality. So children may become less sensitive to the pain and suffering of others. And I've given you two examples. And these are realities. I'm sure some of you, you've seen this thing where accidents, people are taking pictures. And that's all their concern is about, taking pictures of the people and be the first to post on social media and all that. Their feelings is gone or is going, whatever. Children may be more fearful of the world around them. And this comes in various ways. Depends on what they've been watching and all. Now, it can push them in a certain way of behaving weirdly and all that. You see, so the impacts of these things, we can't question it that, oh, it's not true. These are realities. It's happening. So as Christians, the best we can do is to decide to help, decide to seek help if need be, decide to assist others who also need help. You see, we have to be each brother's keeper in whichever way we can. Because these are realities, you see, and these are, unfortunately, these things should be talked about in churches as well. Last week, I was talking to a friend, a pastor friend from Accra, and I was telling him that it's time churches pay a lot of attention to the youth and teenagers. Seriously pay attention, because, you see, if churches don't pay attention to the teenagers and those in the early youthful ages, if care is not taken, we'll lose them. Because what they've been exposed to in the last few years, in terms of technology, in terms of social media, gadgets, and all these things, because they are being exposed wrongly, without controls, without parental guidance and assistance and advice and all, they are going into adulthood with this poisoned mindset or polluted mindset and ideas. And it's going to affect them if care is not taken. You see, so a lot has to be done to remedy the situation, because the harm is being caused daily through various means, the media, social media, entertainment, all these things. It's affecting them. It's affecting them. So Christian parents have a lot of work to do. Yes, prayer, critical. You have to pray more. But it's not, these things go beyond just prayer. Communication has to come in. Talking to them has to come in. Letting them understand the dangers, setting rules. All these things have to come in. Parents seeking knowledge themselves about some of these things, and that's why we talk about these things on this program. Then listen to this one. Research by psychologist L. Rowell Hilsman, Leonard Aron, and others starting in the 1980s found that children who watched many hours of violence on television when they were in elementary school tended to show higher levels of aggressive behavior when they became teenagers. And this is even more worrying. By observing these participants into adulthood, Hilsman and Aron found that the ones who had watched a lot of TV violence when they were 8 years old were more likely to be arrested and prosecuted for criminal acts as adults. This should give every parent a shiver. Children as young as 8 who were exposed to violent content on TV were more likely to be arrested and prosecuted for criminal acts when they grow as adults. You see, so the talk about these things, it's not just, oh, I mean, what's the big deal? Say it's even more share, not share in Koladi, Oni, Obejai. Oni, Obeya Kolabone, Opeyin Bonem no Babe. The danger is, you see, years back, the content wasn't as bad as it is today. So if you were watching things years back and now you have grown to become a good adult by the grace of God, don't assume that because you were watching things and you have become okay, so allow your children to watch things and be exposed to things so that when they grow, by the grace of God, they'll become okay. Don't do that calculation. That one, it will be like you are doing lotto, because the chances that you will get it that way may not fall for you. Oh, yes. And the danger is that they are exposed to far more complicated things than you were exposed to when you were a child. So don't use your upbringing and your adulthood now to compare with what this current generation is going through as the young, and then projecting that when they grow, it will be okay for them. Because they are in the whole new generation. Everything is, that's why, it's like we are in a digital generation. So what they are exposed to is completely different from what you were exposed to. So if parents don't get this connection right, we'll make the wrong assumption that, oh, it doesn't matter, they are children, we'll let them watch, it's just a few, let them watch, the sense, actually, I mean, you see, we can deceive ourselves that, oh, these are minor things, what's the big deal, children, when we make that mistake, we are going to regret it, because the things they will be watching, and the things they will be learning, and the demons that are at work now are not the same demons that were at work when you were growing up. Now, we have LGBT demons all busily active, working to destroy the children. So, by the time you now see the serious signs that you want to fix, then it becomes more difficult. Then now you have to now go to prayer camp and be fasting and praying and deliverance, and I mean, avoid all that and fix the harm now that is easy to deal with the plant. You can easily uproot the grass. Do so. Don't allow it to become a tree before now you go for a chainsaw and a whole lot of difficulty in getting it uprooted. So that's the reason why digital parenting is not just about, oh, just technology, and the harm and the effects is the main basis why we should pay attention to this. And then other research has found that exposure to media violence can desensitize people to violence in the real world, and that for some people, watching violence in the media becomes enjoyable and does not result in the anxious arousal that would be expected from seeing such imagery. And that's it. So you see, it's blood. It doesn't mean anything again to you. And you see, because you see it in movies, and now when you see it in real life, and that's the example I give about this accident thing. Because now we have so much violence and bloody things on the movie, in the screens and all. Now, an accident happens, which is a real thing, that blood is flowing. Psychologically, the person connects it like, the same things he sees in the movie. What's the big deal? So let me pull a camera and take video. So the person is not, that feeling is not there again. It's been numbed. It's like he doesn't see it. It doesn't feel. That this is a human being who is at the verge of dying or needs help. You see? So we become desensitized. We now have a different approach and different feelings after we see these violent things for a long time. And the same thing happens with the games as well, the video games. You know, there is this game, I for the purpose of these digital parenting things, I think when we were treating it last 3 years, 2018, 2019, I got the game and I installed it because I had read about it, but I wanted to see. So, Grand Theft Auto and GTA. I don't know the version now, whether it's 5 or 6 or whatever. And it's a serious robbery, armed robbery. And eventually it's like it's a complicated game. So moving through town, like a gang and robberies and girls and casino and prostitutes. And it's a video game. Children, teenagers and things are playing. In Ghana here, there are children who play it. Those who have access to these things. Some are playing these things. I will not be surprised if some listeners, their children are playing it, they have it on their laptop or in their Xbox or whatever game, and the parents may not be aware. GTA, Grand Theft Auto. And I eventually uninstalled it after a day or two, but from some of the reports I was reading about it, they were saying that there are even some aspects of it where you can levels and all that, where even you can even rape in it. You see, so you see, why design a game that has all these social vices in there? You see, so the child plays this thing. Eventually, in real life, would want to play out exactly what he played in the game. So some of the shooting cases that America experiences, some eventually is a result of the violent game they've been playing, that now they want to practicalize it in real life. So if a child is playing games that you can rape girls in the video, in the game, in the real life, won't the same child or teenager or youth, whatever, do same? Because if even in the game you can, you do it to someone in the game. You see, and for those who, when you look at these computer games, gradually the animation is becoming far real. I mean, and it's becoming more like as if the imaging and cartoon, it's not just like, oh, now they look more real human beings. They look quite close to real humans. So the imaging is becoming more colorful and more beautiful in real life. So it's a game, but the things are, images are sharper and look more like human beings, close to real life. That's the, they are really improving on the graphics and all. So in the real life, this person will see the human being just as it is in the game. Sees it's like this girl in the game. So what this guy, the boy, will be doing in the game, wouldn't mind doing it to a girl in real life. You see, so you think, oh, your child is just playing a game, they're just driving cars around town and shooting and shooting, but you don't know that the child is learning how to rape in a game. So you'll be there and your neighbor comes and complains, and your child has raped my girl, and take you to police station, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, where? How did you know? How did you learn it? I saw it in a game. You see, so these are the cases that are happening. I mean, I hope one of the editions of this program, I'll get one of my friends. He sometimes does, they've done some cases with the Ghana police and all that. And you realize things are happening in the world. In Ghana, things are happening. Things are happening. You see, so we shouldn't think these are some out of place. These are happening. These are within Christian homes. Things are happening. So these are practical things, and we should not just hear others, the negative of stories of others. We should rather quickly learn and put our house in order. You see, so as they say, when you see your neighbor's house on fire, you better get water and you ensure that your water is ready. You don't even let the fire start at all. And that's the whole purpose for this series we are on. We shouldn't let the fire start in our homes at all, because in other homes where these fires have started, quenching them is a big issue. Yes, it's a big issue. Quenching some of these fires can be very complicated. So don't let the fire start at all. And I believe as we take some of these steps, we'll be able to safeguard our homes as the Spirit helps us. I think time is far spent. Let me open the phone lines so that we continue, God willing, next week. The phone line is 054-6898-888. 054-6898-888. And if it's WhatsApp, you can send to my number 0244-638-757. SMS or WhatsApp 0244-638-757. But for the phone, it's 054-6898-888. I had a few more things, but I believe I can push them to next week, God willing. But you can still call, so if you call, changeover.
Life's demand, shameful sin.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, your name and where you're calling from, please. Please, can you talk a bit louder? Hello? Oh, the line is cut. Sorry. Try calling again. We have another caller on the line. Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Okay. Your name and where you calling from?
I'm Eben from Achinaku.
Okay, all right. You on air, please.
Thank you for this enlightenment. But I heard you mentioning that some of the parents are ignorant.
Yeah.
So how are you going to rectify or help them their ignorance? Because this thing, maybe two of them actually said, don't know. Now LGBT now has taken over in our inside books, our caps, our mobile phone covers,
mm-hmm.
our dresses.
Yeah.
Almost everything, but they are not aware.
Oh yeah, it's true.
So what? How are you going to use your medium to let the market know good to go another person for those items that they should stop? So I think either you give it a translator or hold this program. It's been more than 4 or 5 years since you started this program. It's English throughout. So some of us, you get your rabbit about the market human. So yeah. Can't you change it into P?
The station is an English station. That's the unfortunate aspect too.
So means that there's no that we can do to help our mom who are also having children out there, can't you?
Well, see, the program is just 2 hours that we have for Saturday. So if like we had sponsorship on another 3 station somewhere, then fine, we can do some 3 sessions there for them.
Because we're helping Christians, so we do our best we can to help that. Thank you very much for your enlightenment.
Okay, all right. Thank you for calling. Right. 0546-899-8888. Okay, we have another caller on the line. Good evening.
Hello, good evening, brother.
Yeah, good evening. Please, your name and where you're calling from?
My name is Oki. I'm calling from Mac.
Okay, all right. Your name, please.
Thank you for this wonderful program. This helped me, but we're talking about how the parents allow their children to watch television in their rooms without the guidance or any knowledge of what they watch in their room.
Mm-hmm.
You see, these days, how this thing, the so-called, the so-called people and the content they are showing on the television, that alone has a very negative impact on the children. So, thank you for this wonderful program, and I hope this is going to help us a lot.
God.
God bless you for this
wonderful
program.
God bless you too. Save Okay, let me finish off with this little part. I think the messages are now coming. Sometimes when I leave the studio before, the messages start dropping. Okay, I hope they'll come before I leave. And this one says that, you know, cartoon violence keeps an aggression. You know, research indicates that exposure to violence makes it seem more acceptable to kids. And then today's animation and games are so realistic. That's what I was talking about there. I mean, the imagery, seriously. I mean, there's one I saw the image of it. I thought it was a human being. I mean, it looked so real. And it's like, whoa, this is too serious. So realistic that it can be hard for the kids to tell the difference between pretend violence and live action, making some animation just as disturbing as the real thing. Consider your child's age carefully when deciding what level of violence or scariness, that's in the case of horror movies, that they can handle. But the issue is, you see, why expose them to the level of violence in the, I mean, why watch a violent thing in the first place? Why watch something horror in the first place? Because horror movies, that's a whole topic on its own. They are portals to demonic controls and all. So that one, a complete no-go area at all. And see, unfortunately, because we don't read things, we don't, anything goes. So it's like, anything, well, the children is fine. Let them watch. Let them. So we don't really have an idea as to exactly what they are being exposed to. And parents should show interest in what the children are doing sometimes. Because if it's like video game they are playing, at least show an interest to see, to know what they are playing, what they are, sometimes be part of it. So that at least you know, you have an idea that, okay, this is a good thing that they are doing. Or it's harmless, it's educative, or whatever. But to just give them their complete freedom and they download what they want and they watch what they want and they play what they want, for that is a recipe for disaster. A complete recipe for disaster, because in the quest to explore things, they may fall into the trap of getting something which is dangerous for them. Then secretly they just get it without you knowing. You see, and these are the dangers. This is where the whole problem. You see, the issue of temptation. You see, the devil tempts us as adults. He tempts us. The children too, yes, they also get their share of temptation. But you see, the ability to resist a temptation, you and I know that it depends on your level of your inner strength to be able to resist. So how easy will it be for your child to resist the temptation, being exposed to pornography or something that is very tempting, sinful looking? But you see, sin is being packaged to look good and nice. So you should, as a parent, ask yourself, can your child resist something like that? And you see, why let it be difficult for the child to resist instead of helping the child not to even fall into it at all? You see, so we should really think about how to protect our families. How do we go about it? We'll be talking more about these things, the how-tos, how to go about some of these things, the rules to set in some of these things, the conditions you have to bring into it. If the children are addicted to some of these things, how do you solve the problem of addiction, the counseling you have to, strategies you have to use, and all the communication you have to engage in. Because the problem is real. I mean, that one, if you are not having it in your home, then thank God. But this is a real problem that is affecting the church, the body of Christ, the youth, the teenagers are in. They are struggling to come out of. For some, they don't even, there's no desire to even come out because they are enjoying that life. And there's nothing that draws them to leave it. So they are just in. But when they get to know that it is wrong, and that's when now the struggle to come out becomes the hurdle. And parents should pay more attention to what their children do at home. And they are, I mean, it's not good that you give them so much exposure, they have their own phone, child, 9 years, 10 years, seven, 12, 13, having their smartphone. I mean, it's off. It's wrong. It's no good. We'll talk about that subsequently and all, but we should let the children know that, one, whatever you buy for them to use, if it's a tablet or it's a computer, it shouldn't be said that this is your computer. Of course, this is the person is, I'm not talking of the youth, but a child, DHS and all type of these ages, don't let it be like this is your computer. So that means he can use it how he wants or she wants. It should be, I'm giving, it's like a lease. It's you, it's for the parents. I'm giving it to you to use it to do your assignments, your homework, your research. These days, as they started doing research in some of the schools and all that, homework online. And it's, these are where the reasons why parents have to be careful about the exposure their children are going to have. Because in going online to do a research work, the child can stumble upon the wrong page and see some adverts which will draw the child into where it shouldn't end up and all. So the whole issue of parenting, we have to really discuss it well from the angle of how do we go about these things in the light of the knowledge that we are talking about, we are discussing, how best can we move around with our families, with the children, combining our busy schedules and all that. And I believe God will next week will be continuing this then. This is Eben. Program is Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. Greetings to our listeners. The messages have started coming when I'm closing. My son was exposed to violent movies at a tender age. He is 15 and has lost empathy and sympathy for human. He sometimes tells me he doesn't feel the pain when he hears about someone's dead. Wow. I don't know what to do. All that you are saying is true and real. God bless you. This is serious, bro. This is serious. And parents, these things are not simple things at all. These are real. You see, and when you read the news in the U.S., child shoots parents, child kills the entire family, child does, you hear these things, you think, it's far, no, these things cannot happen, all these things there, no. It starts from somewhere, desensitization, so this example that this listener sent, you see, it becomes a worrying issue because when the person doesn't feel worried or there's no sadness about hearing someone is dead, it becomes a serious issue then to look at. You see, so we have to really address this issue seriously and critically. And unfortunately, because of time, I can't really talk much. God willing, next week we'll continue from there. Good night and God bless you. You can get the files from there. You can listen to it again or download spiritissues.info. Good night.